Come on in. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Leaf edition.
Yeah.
Here on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6 always. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and General Nick. Boys, I am really excited about today's show.
Is that right?
Yes.
How come?
I slept.
That must have been nice.
I've got some energy.
Good. I didn't go there yet.
I didn't go to bed.
Coffee!
Covering a West Coast game for the first time in, what, 4 years?
Yeah.
I feel good.
That's great.
I feel good. We've got all-star guests in this show today.
We do. Unbelievable guests. Mike Richter.
Mike Richter will be joining us in, what, about 30 minutes. I wrote an article today in the Toronto Star, my weekly article on goaltending and basically the demise of it in terms of the importance that it once had through everybody's lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I thought he could relate to what maybe Samsonov in Toronto or Jack Campbell in Edmonton were going through. Both players waived.
Yep.
Now, he, prior to our year winning the Stanley Cup, got sent to the AHL and played maybe half a dozen games with Binghamton.
Prior to you guys winning the Cup?
Prior.
Wow.
And just give us a feel.
A couple weeks in Binghamton will make anyone recommit to the craft.
Except for this one place that had amazing chicken wings.
Oh, yeah? Is that right? Okay.
The bus had to stop there prior to leaving town.
Do you remember the name
after
of it?
The game? No, but I'm going to ask Mike.
Yeah, he'll know.
He'll remember. So we've got that. In the next hour, Craig Berube will be joining us on the national edition of our show, which I'm looking forward to. We all believe he's going to be the next coach of the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know a thing. Nobody's reporting anything.
Just saying it would make
ask
sense.
Him. How about I just ask him?
Would you say it's trending in that direction, guys?
We'll just ask him.
I'm not saying anything.
And we'll get into a few different things, including what ended up being a very hot topic in social media between our Jennifer Botterill last night. And Jamal Mayers and our boy Sammy Kaws, who got into it. And I loved it for no other reason as I wasn't trending last night.
You know, it is really nice, you know, to have people openly disagree on a topic and discuss it. Not that hard. No one got hurt. It's fun to, you know, throw it all out there.
That is pretty much the crux of what we do.
But you know what? It wasn't for a while. There was a run of time where...
Yeah, when Kipper was fired.
Yeah, that's right. Cherry and Kipper. I don't think we heard anything.
We'll get into that in the next hour. In the meantime, we can certainly dive into the Leafs outlasting Anaheim 2-1 in overtime. And we'll start with you, JB. For me, watching last night, didn't quite have the same feel for me that I had when they played the LA Kings.
Yeah.
But found a way for another 2 points.
To me, it's like in the Olympics when the gymnastics routines of people can like only top out at a certain level. It's like the degree of difficulty in this routine is only, that was the Anaheim Ducks. It could never get to the Kings level because the degree of difficulty was just not the same. But I mean, they wiped the mat with them, Kip. I mean, it was a complete one-sided hockey game. To me, we've talked about beating the bad teams. I know they snuck by in overtime, but they handled their business. I mean, the numbers that I got back from SportLogic on that game, unlike anything I've seen from the Leafs in years of getting this stuff, they had the puck more than twice as much.
A quick comment before we go to Sheldon on the overview?
Yeah, I think if we're going to talk about Sheldon here, I think he deserves some credit for going back to Jones because I don't think he was totally tested a ton, but I thought there were a few moments in that game where he made some nice saves, and
I'm
give him
take
full
the
credit.
On that. You're
full
right.
credit for going back.
Okay. You're right, Sheldon.
We'll get into Sheldon's decision after we hear his overall view of last night's game.
Yeah, you get these nights sometimes, right? And you know, early in the game there when they pulled that one off the goal line, you know, it you just kind of think, you know, that it might be one of those nights, you know, that one doesn't fall for you. And that's the way it turned out. Now there are some things that I'd like to see us do a little bit better. Sometimes you face a goalie like that. He's having such a great night. I thought we could do more to make it uncomfortable for him. That's what we were talking about doing. I didn't think we were able to get to him off the puck with traffic and things like that nearly enough. But, you know, we get that number of shots and that many of quality clean looks at the goaltender that normally with our caliber of shooters, you know, those find ways to go in. But yeah, you need to find ways to win these games and certainly get points. You know, you get into the overtime and it's a little bit of a coin toss from there. But you got to get points in these games and find a way. And, you know, again, that's another game here tonight without giving up a 5-on-5 goal.
Three straight games, no 5-on-5 goals against the Leafs.
So he basically summed up his decision. Got to get the points.
Yeah,
to go to Jones again, and to give Sammy credit, he wanted Jones. We wanted
the beast.
We didn't get that, but who can argue with the results?
Can't. And in a game that ends up being a one goal overtime decision, to Sammy's point, there were some opportunities where I thought Jones made really nice and timely saves. So yeah, put the guy in who's stopping the puck. I guess there are times where we overthink things in this job, and he got that one right.
So Keith, he spoke before the game yesterday, and he said that the overriding thing for me is we want to build some momentum as a team here and the way things have gone for us of late. So, yeah. Like, it's just, you know, we want to play the NHL goalie.
This one away, yes, here. We need to go get points.
Yeah. And, yeah, I thought, you know, that the Leafs have, I forget how much they're up by, but the shutout streak thing?
Yeah, 150
games straight without getting shut out. I think the next closest is well under 100.
I don't know. When you've got...
That's impressive.
When you got Matthews, crazy. Marner, Nylander, and Tavares, will they ever get shut out again?
Oh, Matthews scores every game.
yeah, I don't know. They shouldn't, but yeah, 150 shouldn't. Straight, it's crazy. The Raptors had the record forever for a three-point made in the game.
Really?
They had the record for multiple seasons until it was broken. I don't know when, but just a
I'm
random
sure
one.
By this team.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, no. Anyways, what are you going
to say? I was just going to say Anaheim didn't feel like they needed to address Gibson to give themselves the best chance. That goaltender last night, Lucas Dostal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Record-setting night, 55 of 57 shots. Like, he was... He
was awesome.
The feeling was
Sam
that
think he so was... I thought he was unbelievable.
He was going to pitch him. He was going to pitch that shutout.
Yeah. You didn't think... You thought they hit him?
No.
Well, like... He was
I thought he was really
times.
Good.
He was good. I thought he had a pretty quick chest. Last night, I thought they beat the puck into his pads a lot, hit him in the center of the, like, ton of clean looks for him. They weren't in front of the net a ton. Like, the one they finally score on, Tavares is in his jersey, bangs it on. Like, he was good. He made the most saves in the history of the Anaheim Ducks franchise. He was very good. But I don't think it was, like, otherworldly.
I thought he was awesome. Like, I thought the Matthews one, the quick cutter where he catches him off the shoulder and he keeps it out. Like, I just thought he read plays really well. And sometimes, you know, great goaltending looks simple. I thought he was very good.
Okay.
That's a hell of a zag by me.
Yeah.
The thing that I didn't like last night out of the Toronto Maple Leafs is it had less of a feel for me from an overall game from the one that we saw in LA. I was hoping that was going to kind of transition. I saw a little bit more out of the old Toronto Maple Leafs with Sheldon, where I'm going to run my dogs, my big dogs, until I secure my 2 points. And it would have been nicer for me to see a night where you're playing one of the worst teams in the league, where you do not have to run Austin Matthews 25 minutes.
Yeah, Marner played 25 minutes too. Yeah, I think that's a legitimate complaint. You know, watching, you know, I want to bring up something with you that I think is fairly interesting. Anthony Petrilli, guy we reference once in a while here, made a comment about Mitch Marner this year. And how, you know, the NHL Edge data tracks speed bursts, like however many times per game you get over 20 miles per hour. You know, this season, his amount of speed bursts, he used to be in like the 77th percentile, 80th percentile last year. And this year he's below the 50th percentile in that. And it feels to me sometimes like he knows he's going to play 25 minutes and that he does have to kind of budget the gas in the tank rather than there's just hasn't been as many games where you see him take it to the opposition. And I don't know if it's related to ice time or not, but it
feels... How can it not?
Right.
How can it not?
I'm sure he's top 10 about forward.
Like, and it's just, for me, sometimes it's just not about the actual numbers of minutes. Because when it's all said and done, the star players are going to kind of look like the minutes are all the same. Mm-hmm. But there's little smaller factors for me, and that is... the stress level of those minutes. Mm-hmm. And last night, Matthews, Marner, it wasn't a cruise control type of game.
Pouring it on, trying to get the next one, yeah.
Matthews' arms are going to fall off. What do we say, over 20 shot attempts?
20 shot attempts.
Yeah, I think 13 hit.
13 those shots on
net. Easy minutes. They're stressful minutes for your star players against one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
That stuff catches up to you in March and April. And to give you some sort of kind of context into minutes and hard minutes and all of that, I went back to the Edmonton Oilers game where they just beat Philadelphia Flyers 5-2.
I have that up in front of me too.
And I'm going, like we talked about yesterday, Connor McDavid. What a night.
Yeah, 5 points, four assists.
5 points. Yeah. And I'm looking, and it's like, how many shots on goal did he have?
Two.
How many minutes did he play?
16
and a half. Boys, that's cruise control. Leafs, Matthews, and Marners, how many nights have they had cruise control? Not last night.
By the way, in the last few games, McDavid played 25 against the Kings. The night before, he played 16 against the Sharks because they won 5-0. So there's another night where it's like, you can justify the 25-minute games if you offset them with some nights where it's lighter.
So just to add a little bit more, again last night, 57 shots on goal. How many from a percentage came from Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Tavares? You go first.
Of 57, you had him with 13, so probably it's probably close to 45%.
Yeah, I'm going to say 60.
62. Okay.
Yeah.
Edmonton, 5-2 win over the Flyers. Go to their top guys, and I'll add Draisaitl, McDavid, Hyman, and Kane. What was their percentage of shots on goal?
Much less.
Yeah. Half.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. You're getting your points, but... at what cost? Again, and this is our earlier conversation that we've had much earlier in this season, is I got a little bit of Team A won the game last night.
Yeah.
Team B kind of watched. Max Domi's been pretty good. How many minutes did he play last night?
Love to know.
Under 10.
Nine. Mm-hmm. Nine, guys.
You know, but the other hand, you know, you're on the panel the other night talking about how, you know, you need to play Jones the other night. Pull Samsonov, put in Jones, because you need these 2 points. Those 2 points are relevant. I see
but
your
that's
point.
That's in a battle. That's
you're in a game with Anaheim last night. No, you're either down a goal. Like, but you can't be like, let's just get him ice time and rest this guy. You need those points.
It's also the factor that your other guy isn't good enough. Okay, Max is good enough to play more than 9 minutes.
No doubt about that.
That's the difference, JB, for me.
Yeah,
it's that we're talking about guys that are capable in the moment. You need to have more confidence in your total lineup to go win 4 rounds in the playoffs, and beating the crap out of 4 of your top players for 25 minutes every night.
Second half of back to back. Against one of the worst teams in the
and
league.
And again,
too many.
We're talking about now stressful games. How many overtimes, boys,
15.
Lead the league? 15. Last night, was there 15?
15th, most
to lead
NHL.
The league.
Yep.
How many games did they play? 36?
35.
Jeez.
That puts stress, major stress, on your star players.
It is interesting, Kip. You know, like Matthews... last night, unbelievable. You know, like he was all over the map. He had the puck the whole night. You're right. It would have been a taxing night on a back-to-back for a guy like him. You know, I am curious if just the years of this ice time on Marner is or what it is, but it doesn't seem to be the same. He was good last night. I thought Marner was good last night. But just generally this year, he doesn't seem to have that same, you know, like what's the Willie Nylander stat? He's only 4 games with 0 points this year. Marner's at like 14 or something like that. Like there's just more nights where maybe it is too much and maybe dialing it back a little, you'd get more out of the guys.
Hell of a pass though on the overtime.
Dude, we pause that clip. Matthews is facing him, screening the goalie when he passes it. Like to know that Matthews to be able to read and open it up and put it in the place he's going to be to hit it. It's an unbelievable pass that maybe 2 or 3 other guys in the league even attempt.
The two best, Marner's the best, and then Willie, but Willie's shooting a lot more now, right?
Yeah. No, he wants the dollars. Give me the dollars, baby. But
some reports on that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Who wants the dollars?
Sixth in the NHL, 158 shots.
It would help if there was one or two other guys that could make that pass.
Yeah.
Tavares can't make that pass, boys.
Do you know that Nylander and Matthews are one shot apart on the season?
Right.
For total shots? No, you're right. They can't.
They can't. And sometimes when they do struggle to score goals, it would help if a few of them would look off and draw and find the open guy.
Willie will do it a bit.
Willie's...
Yeah.
He's a willing passer.
He's a willing passer. Yeah.
There
Tavares,
is,
they're straight line guys. Tavares sometimes gets the tunnel vision going, boys, and he can take a wrist shot from 40 feet out.
He does that a lot.
It's true. I hate that shot.
I hate it, too.
There was some of that against Anaheim, to your point. There was some of that last night where a guy be, you know, unscreened top of the circle wrister, and it was like, why are we doing that?
Well, but one of the signature moves of Tavares is, like, him coming in over the blue line, a little bit of a toe drag, and, like, firing it, either hitting the glass or hitting the goalie in the chest. Yeah. Like, he does it, I'd say, once a game.
That's partially why you can't separate Bertuzzi and Marner, because they're the couple guys who make the little passes.
Passing the puck.
Or you have to keep them separate.
If they just can work on passing the puck a little bit more and having a few of those different looks.
Yeah.
So
I think it can go a long way.
You know, you talk about Domi getting under 10 last night. How much of that is him playing with Holmberg versus playing with Roberts? I know Robertson hasn't been really good, obviously, for the last little bit. But I just felt like that line was so much less of a threat without Robertson in terms of just offense. Like, it was a different-looking line, totally. I'm not even on the Robertson corner, but I just thought that there was no chances with Domi on the ice with those guys.
Yeah, Robertson's high event, right?
Yeah.
Like, it might go your way, it might go their way, but it's going to go some way.
Nothing happened.
Just in the back half of the season, going into the playoffs, you just don't envision Max and Robertson playing an integral part on the third line together. They just... Yeah. I think they just need to feel like they're heavier there. They're bigger.
Right.
They're stronger.
Well, we had,
and that's not Robertson for Max.
Ruff talking about Vancouver yesterday, and their third line right now is that Dakota Joshua, who's a big, strong guy, and Bluger, who's, you know, been through a lot in the NHL. And then I forget who's
Connor Garland.
Connor Garland, who's a scrappy competitive.
Yes.
He's small, but he's competitive.
Even L.A. And by the way, I mean, I know you said that they were awful last night and the Leafs dominated them.
Yeah.
But they still look better to me than L.A. did 2 nights ago.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
L.A. had no juice.
I thought Anaheim was awful.
Awful.
I didn't see anything out of them. But I mean, so your point about L.A., they've had a couple of quiet showings from California.
They were 5 minutes away from stealing that thing.
I know. It's crazy.
But, I think that, I think overall there's some work to do on the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, six.
You know, when you have Holmberg and McMahon and Kampf and just a certain number of guys whose job it is to break even, it's tough to get much.
It's funny
how McMahon crushed a guy last night.
Before we get to that, it's funny how much the needs of this team, in my eyes, change from night to night, where it's like, oh, my God, they need a D-man. Oh, my God, they need a goalie. After watching last night, I'm like, holy crap, they need a couple bottom six wingers. It's like it just feels like what they need changes on a night-to-night basis.
Martin Jones, by the way, among NHL goalies to have 10 games, and he has 10 exactly, he's second in the NHL in save percentage with a 930.
How about the back-to-back? 2 wins, 58 saves on 59 shots, 1 goal against, 049 goals against, 983 save percentage, and a shutout. Like, what a godsend this guy's been for them.
They were
screwed
the start of the year
without him. Screwed.
Before we get into the Bobby McMahon hit, Just one other thing, too, is I don't know how you guys feel, but I just don't like the power play. Yeah, it just still is underwhelming for me for the amount of talent that they have. Mm-hmm. It just
in the last month, I think it's under 15%.
Looks too slow for me. Mm-hmm. It looks like everybody's just standing in one spot, and
second unit's really good.
Tavares got the goal that ignited them last night, mm-hmm. but outside of that, they gave up the shorthanded goal. It just doesn't seem to be a dynamic tool for them right now.
They could use a little, part of the second unit becomes the first unit, part of the first unit becomes the second unit thing.
I think in January you could try it. Maybe Max gets a couple of minutes. Robertson is in a shooting spot for a sec.
When the playoffs start, I want it to be humming, and I want it to be like this. But right now, it feels like you can just kind of freshen it up a little bit.
To me, that's one spot that Sheldon has not shown me that he's going to do that. Like, there was a couple of times last night, they went 45, 50 seconds. Pull him off. You got to face off. Yeah. Get Max Domi out there. And think of big picture. Don't just think about just the 2 points. There has to be some sort of, boys, what am I building here?
I feel like that's
the playoffs,
hard for a coach,
it's a given.
Though.
I told you this
super
a long,
hard.
When you're in the
I told you this a long time ago. You're in the playoffs. You're not missing the playoffs.
You get to take that for granted. Keefe doesn't. I think if we could boil down Sheldon Keefe's coaching as a Toronto Maple Leaf, as a Toronto Marley, the way he is you can understand his decisions if you try to understand he's trying to win tonight, right? Like, none of it has been.
No, he's not big. He's not Johnny Big Picture.
Accountability. Yeah. He is trying to win.
He will grind them
to win every point. And maybe you think that's a problem. Some other people might not. The team may have to reassess depending on what they have left.
Go back. It's going to be history proving itself over again here. It's been kind of shown at times in the past. What's wrong with him? Oh, he's brutal. Like, the star players didn't show up again. Well, maybe the needle's on E.
I think it is a valid concern to raise with this team. Absolutely.
Okay. Bobby McMahon, 5-minute major. Okay.
Mint Yukov's face hadn't hit the boards before Sammy tweeted, love it.
I
texted you guys, love it.
Ripping on the officials here, but you have 2 minutes to go to your little monitor and watch it 2 or 3 times, I have no idea how you can come to a 5-minute major conclusion.
Well, I can, because it's a big, loud, and I think it was a terrible call. Like, the fact that they decided that was a 5-minute major and kick him out is absurd. But they sit there, boys, for, I don't know how long, 2 or 3 minutes, and convince themselves, because of the result, because of the big loud noise, the guy's cut, he's off the ice, they convince themselves it's a major. Mm-hmm. It's just not. And that's a problem with the review, where these two, the 3 blind mice can sit there and try to figure out what they're doing. It's just, the review takes way too long, and them trying to figure it out, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Bang play.
It was a bang-bang play. I'll say that I agree that, like, technically by the rule book, it's like he gets to some shoulder. The guy knows he's about to be hit. I get that. The guy is going to be in a precarious situation. He's shooting the puck in. He's not really going to be able to protect himself. He's in kind of a tough area. I don't love the hit. It's a little greasy for me. I don't think it's a 5 in a game by any stretch. I think it is a little more gray than I think you guys think it is, but I do think that with the replay thing, it needs to be, we're going to give you 2 looks at this again at real speed, make up your mind, then we're going back to the game.
I'll hear 2 minutes for boarding. Fine. Yeah. No problem. But to kick him out for that, it's crazy.
Oh, that call in game 3 or game 4.
Oh my God.
Is front page.
Yeah.
Number 1 trending thing.
Yeah. And also, I think
But what's he supposed to do there?
Well, I think he has to make the decision of, can I hit this guy who's a bit defenseless, because the person made themselves defenseless.
But he's coming in full speed, and when he's about to engage, they're shoulder to shoulder. He has the puck on his stick.
Yeah.
Well, he knows he's dumping the puck in, right? The guy's rushing
but
to the red line.
That's hockey, baby. Sure it is. You're allowed to finish a check.
And Mintyukov should do a better job.
He just turns his back right into him.
Yeah, for sure. But I do think that he's aware that he's going to be hitting a guy that's in a kind of a weird spot as it happens.
All right, so. Let's get Sheldon Keefe's thoughts on Kipper's Clipper.
He's found another level.
Clip three.
No thoughts. So, I mean, obviously, there's no intent there. I mean, Bobby's just finishing his check. I think it's a quick play where their guy's dumping the puck in and kind of turns at the same time and makes it a little bit harder for him. But, regardless of it, we need Bobby to keep playing hard and doing his job there. And I think he's been really good for us.
I think that I can say it's a bit greasy hit, and Sheldon should like that he's doing that. Bobby McMahon should be pleased that he landed a big check and the coach noticed. Like, it's good in the end for them, but yeah, still.
I just hope that, you're a four-flying guy, you're a call-up, hope he doesn't deter him.
That's what I would mean. I bet they went to him after the game and were like, hey.
Do it again.
We enjoy that.
Okay. Just because it's like, you put your team in the power play for penalty kill for 5 minutes. You don't want it to be like, oh, better next time he's in that position. It's like, oh, I don't want that to happen again. Yeah. That's why I hate the call so much. It's no hit league.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to hit guys.
Torts over here.
It is. And I don't like Torts, and I hate to get him credit, but he's he's right. It's no hitters. Like, it's such a flashbang moment that everyone's like, you have to make a call.
Anyways. All right. Why don't we go to break? Because I want to max out our next guest after the break, Mike Richter. Former teammate of mine, former New York Ranger goalie, Stanley Cup champion. He's going to give us his thoughts on the state of NHL goaltending and what guys like Samsonov and Campbell can do to save their careers. Mike Richter, after the break, you're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne. Welcome back in. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. So Mike Richter says to me yesterday, just send me a text, in the morning to remind me to come on the show. And
okay.
I did.
Okay.
And he says, okay, thanks. Now I can start drinking. Just to give you some idea of his sense of humor.
McLean. Plan for the show.
Do people need to drink to come on our show?
I hope not. I don't anymore, which is good. Yeah.
You are our example, but real interested talking about the state of goaltending today and where it is. If anyone's interested, I wrote an article today in the Toronto Star on it and how it just doesn't seem like it
fun
once was in the game today.
All I can tell you is that I am the father of a 7-year-old who plays hockey. And when the gear comes around, like who wants to play goal next week, every single parent has got their kids' arms pinned to the side. Like, you do not want to do this. Like, it's not a position that these days people are jumping to play.
I watched the World Juniors closely and forget the goalie, Rousseau for Canada. And, you saw how it ends. Goal, puck goes in off another defender, and they flash to Rousseau's parents in the crowd.
Oh.
Hey, they're just.
And it's not his fault, that goal.
Not even close to his fault, but it's like, you're the last line of defense. I don't know why you would ever.
We're saying his name on national TV.
I've gone in net a few times, and it's just like, why would anyone choose to do this? It's insane.
It is.
It's an insane thing to do.
But at least it pays less these days.
In the article today, I also talked about just how every rule was just for more scoring, more chances, more. And as you had stated to me, the save percentage has been at a steady decline.
Yeah, for like 7 or 8 straight years. It's plummeting. I also wrote an article yesterday for Sportsnet.ca with Andrew Brewer, who drew up faceoff plays for the Leafs for some 4 or 5 years. And we talked about the potential, like in rules tweaks, about pre-faceoff movement. If you allowed it like the NFL, where you could have a couple of guys in the backfield starting with motion, how all these rules, how fun it would be and what could happen and whatever. Every rule we make now is about how do we kill the defense? How do we handcuff the defense? How do we make this harder for the goalies? It's a tough job. And, God, they're so good now. Like, guys you've never heard of, like Lucas Dostal. And, by the way, we should say we've heard of them. The Ducks will tweet about us upset. Yeah.
He's not a no-namer, guys.
He's not a no-namer. But, yeah, goalies are so good, but they're all kind of the same.
Now, I don't know his actual size. To me, he's not a big goaltender. And it just seems like everything's skewed towards now 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". And he didn't, I think he might be 6 feet at the most, maybe.
He is, he says 6'1". 6'2".
Oh, he's 6'2".
Is our next guest 6'6"?
Our next guy was not 6'2", 6'4", but often talked like he was. Ricky, first of all, how many Jägermeisters have you needed to come on our show today?
About 14. Actually, 19, your number.
Oh, very nice. Well, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. I don't know if you got, if you knew this, but I kind of wrote an article on your position, goaltending, and where it is today in the NHL and where it's kind of headed. It just seemed like there were so many star goaltenders in the back that teams just could never envision not having. And now it's been skewed to just get a guy in there who can make the saves he's supposed to and will do the rest. But the other thing in the article was the fact that we've got Samsonov and Jack Campbell, goaltenders, proven goaltenders at the NHL level now trying to find their craft in the minors. And you had an experience like that prior to us winning the Stanley Cup. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show, guys. This is awesome. I want to read that article, Kipper. I haven't seen it yet, so my apologies. But, I mean, you never came back into the defensive zone, so I don't know why you're
a little specialist.
But, no, honestly, it's wild to watch. The whole NHL right now, the quality of play is great. And I think the position of goaltender has changed a lot. I heard you guys speaking about, you know, the size of the goaltenders themselves. But these, for the most part, kids are all mobile, really mobile. So when you get that, you know, a small goalie, 6'1", 6'2", even, and they can move the way they are, it's pretty difficult to score on them. I think what's hard for these guys is the techniques. If you look at Marty Brodeur, Dominic Hasek, Patrick Waugh, they all had their own style. You know, look, you're always going to be centered on the puck. You're going to be balanced. But it's between your ears, which really makes those guys great. And I think that's one of the most difficult things to figure out. You really got to know the person to know what kind of compete he has, what kind of focus they have, how they handle adversity and all of that. I am curious, though. A lot of these goalies are so good technically that I wonder if they've gotten by on that a lot of their career. And then, look, you're going to be challenged. In that league, there is no room for mediocrity. So you're going to start seeing cracks in the armor if there are any. But as far as Samsonov, I mean, we spoke about this the other day, you and I. I think it can be a really great thing for a goaltender to go down and kind of refine his form. You see it with pitchers and whatnot. And I think the NHL has been so much better. You know, when we came into the league, it was kind of like there was minors and there was pros. And now it's more of a developmental league. And if you can use that to get people back on track after injuries or through a skid, you know, that dude can play the game. And I don't know what's going on between his ears. I don't know whether his technique is off or what it is. Obviously, he's not playing where he wants to be. But, you know, I think that's something where if you roll up your sleeves, and we had spoken about this, Henrik Lundqvist, how great is he? He would take a couple games and just say, I need to practice. My technique's getting a little stale. And you can do that. That can happen when you're in the playoffs, when you're just playing games and it's at the end of the season and you're doing nothing but resting between games and then playing games. It's a great rhythm to be in. But you start getting smoked here and there. You don't have a lot of wiggle room to improve your technique. And sometimes you just need that. You need that space. And, you know, I'll stop talking for a second, but something that's important is having two goalies that are great. Because if somebody goes down with an injury, obviously you need those points. But you see what's happening in New York right now. If, you know, Shesterkin's coming back from an injury or he wants to get fresh on his technique, you're not giving up points by playing the other guy. And as much as that looks like a goaltending controversy from a distance, it's a luxury. It's a really good thing. That's a damn long season and every game matters right now.
You know, I'm curious to get your thoughts on the on starting goaltenders playing like 50 games a year. Most, I looked through your resume. I think you played more than 65 or six times. One year you played 72 games, you know, and today we're trying to figure out why save percentage is down seven straight seasons. And it seems to be that maybe starting goalies just aren't in the net as much. Like, what are your thoughts on these guys that, you know, topping out in the kind of the low 50s?
Great question. Because they are big, they are mobile, they have great technique. And I don't know whether it's been such a reliance on the physical. And you look at those goalies in the 70s, you know, someone come in and Reggie, I grew up in Philadelphia, watch Reggie Leach come down and rip one off the crossbar. And they're like, whoa, 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 that's a lifter. and I'm not disparaging these guys because mentally they were tough. That equipment, it hurt. You know, you ask John Davidson, crap, you know, even when I was a kid, you just had little, sponge and stuff like that. So on the collarbones and the elbows and whatnot, you had to pay attention, and it physically could really hurt and be even dangerous. You have more equipment now. It's so kind of physically based, the technique, that I just wonder whether the great goalies that are still there are the ones that obviously have combined that technique, but the muscle between the ears is so strong. You know, Marty Brodeur, bad game today? Fine. I'll go out and pitch a shutout tomorrow. Think of the consistency of Lundqvist. We had the luxury of watching in New York. Patrick Waugh, great big game goalie. You have to have that. And I wonder if as a kid, they're learning so much technique. You know, I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know. I tend to look at these guys and say they're pretty good. I hear what you're saying. You know, where are the dominant goalies? And I don't know. But I would imagine the floor has come up. Who's a crappy goalie in that league?
Right.
You know, and I don't think there's any. A couple deep, too, in the organization, I'd say. So I think, you know, the quality from top to bottom is tremendous. The top guys are ridiculous. The save some of these guys are making are really impressive. And, you know, I'm in New York right now, and you look at Bedard coming in. This kid, have you seen him shoot a puck? I didn't think he was going to be that good, that quick. And, you know, maybe one of the reasons that the save percentage is a little lower is these guys are so skilled. You know, the Michigan was a big thing when the kid from Michigan did it. Now it seems like every third week someone's ripping that thing in a different way. At full speed, they're picking the damn puck up. The quality of skill sets on a given player in juniors right now is through the damn roof. And so these guys, if you have a hole in your, you know, in your game, they'll find it. I used to love watching the playoffs because all year long you'd have those 80 games and all the practice, and the guys' shots would be more accurate. The goalies would be making better saves that they probably weren't making in training camp. Now it seems like that starts in training camp. The guys are picking those corners off the bars. You know, that great highlight of Connor McDavid doing a 360, picking up the puck, and then banking the thing under the blocker, over the pad, and off the damn post after doing a 360 at full speed. I don't know, man. There's not been that many players in the world that can do what these 700 players can do. So, you know, I give a little bit of leeway on the goaltending right now because these guys are shooting the puck so well.
We're talking to Mike Richter, former NHL great.
Tall. Tall.
And my practice ride to ride Playland.
Is that right?
He would let me change the radio dial.
No.
Brian Leetch almost kicked me out of his car when I touched it.
That's nice. Is that why you're still friends with Richter? We can't get Leetch on?
Yeah, we can't get Leetch on. Hey, Ricky, part of my article I wrote that you went down to the minors after playing over 100 NHL games. That's a big difference than a guy playing a couple and then getting sent down here. Would Samsonov and Campbell be going through that stress of embarrassment? Did you feel embarrassed, humiliated that you were a proven NHL guy with all these games and now you got to go to Binghamton?
Yeah, you do. Look, every game I went into, you go in trying to have a shutout. You go in trying to win it. You want that consistency. You have no lack of desire. But, you know, there are people on the other side of the puck that are wanting the same thing, and it's a competitive place. So when you, especially as a young guy, start losing or getting out of the rhythm. It's just too valuable. It's too important to say, you know, it's you know, February, he'll come out of it. Well, what if he doesn't? You can't give up a couple of weeks to get the guy in shape. So, you know, going down there to play, I think I've played five games in whatever, in a week or something like that, 8 days, whatever it was incredibly helpful. There's great players down there. I'm fortunate there was a great team when I went to Bingo. They helped, you know, but you get a little bit of confidence, but you just scrape everything off and focus on your game. That's what you need to do. And I love practicing. I worked hard at it, but where you get your rhythm is the games. Ultimately, you can feel great in practice, but you've got to get into that game shape. And the only way of getting into the game shape ultimately is by playing games. And if you're not up to par or your team's giving up enough chances where it's going to cost you a lot, and there's not that flexibility within, you know, your own lineup, maybe it's a good thing to do. But it's such a delicate thing. You hear people talking all the time about getting confidence, and goal scorers, when they're going, they have confidence. They get that puck, they're saying, calling for it, give it to me. They'll shoot everything. When you're not, you're second guessing. You have that little hesitation, whether you're a forward or goalie. That's a death sentence there. So you have to be truly confident in what you're doing and have no hesitation. You know, you read the play, stick with your read. You got to move. If it's 2-on-1, for example, if you start saying, well, actually, he might get the pad, I'll go to it, you're done. That hesitation, the game moves too quickly. So I look, the only way to get out of these things is by working your backside off to get out of them. And if that means going to the minors to do it, awesome, do it. And,
so,
you know, take it.
Ricky, it's funny you say that because the paperwork says that Samsonov's been assigned to the Toronto Marlies, but they have no plans for him to play any games as of today. Could you have done what you did in Binghamton without those games and then go back and get reset? Or are they making a mistake not playing him in a couple of games?
It's hard to not to have the context to be able to answer that one kind of accurately. You know, sometimes players, and I was pretty intense, you get in your own way, right? So I'd want to win four games in the first period, you know, and if it doesn't go your way, that effort and that desire can start to derail you a little bit. And I know Hank, when he first came to New York, was very much the same way. Super competitive. If you lose a game, then you try a little harder. And maybe you are second guessing yourself because you're trying that much more. So, you know, the intent is there, the desire is there, but the rhythm might not be. And so sometimes it's okay to just take a day off or get the hell away from it. So I don't know the particular situation. Anytime you have an injury, you know, there's two aspects of that. You have to get through the injury, but then you have to get strong again and get your timing again. And, I don't know, you know, what precipitated Samsonov's problems, but if it's not going, and, you know, I wouldn't classify Toronto as the most defensive team in the world. So sometimes, you know, you can be left in a position where you better play really well, even though they're putting four goals in, you're going to have to make some really big saves. So if your game's not up to par, it'll be exposed. And so I don't know. There might be a little bit of a rest and just feel like you're going out there full bore. I don't have an answer for that. But I think goaltending is such an experienced position that you should be able to right that ship. I mean, he's got a lot of experience. The guy can play the game. He seems like a real competitor. You've seen him play tremendous hockey, so I wouldn't give up on him.
By the way, Mike Richter's AHL stats when he went down, I think he was scored on, I don't know, like once a game at most. 964 save percentage. The chicken wings must have been pretty good in Binghamton, is my understanding.
It was a pretty good team in front of me, I will say, but it helped, right? I mean,
yeah.
You kind of wash all the BS off and you're just out there playing your game. You know, how to prepare. You know, at that point, I had a really pretty good technique. And I just said, look, I know what I'm doing. Get down there and do it. There's nothing to talk about. You just have to perform. And I think sometimes when you get rid of a lot of the circus that can come with struggles, it's a really good thing.
Does the big market make a big difference? Like I'm thinking about, you know, you're playing for the New York Rangers. These guys are undergoing these, you know, confidence battles, Samsonov in particular, in Toronto, you know, or under the watch of Toronto's media. Would that be something that is an additional challenge for a goalie?
No question. Yeah. I think it's a good thing. Look, when you're winning, you want to be in the biggest market. When you're losing, you know, a backwater looks pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you'll be scrutinized there like no other place on earth, really. And so New York had a big media presence, clearly, but Toronto's Toronto. You know, that's kind of the hotbed of the whole damn thing. And people know the game, and it's sport watching that sport in a big way, and criticizing and second guessing. So, yeah, you will have to have all pistons firing if you're going to make it there, for sure. And so I think a struggle, you know, you might start getting through it, but the paper's lagging and saying, well, you know, you're still having a hard time. And that starts to eat at you. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's a benefit to him right now. But like Kevin Lowe said when he came to New York, you know, we hadn't won in 54 years. And he was like, man, think of the upside. So there's always that amazing upside in a place like New York or Toronto in particular.
There's been so many rules, Ricky, in the last 20 years to open up the offense. Was the trapezoid absolutely needed by the NHL to strip guys away from handling the puck? Or was that just overkill?
I don't know. I think the goalies are so good at that now. They're scoring goals. They're moving the biscuit. You know, people come, you want to see goals, but you really want to see scoring chances. Because if you're getting these games where players are being mugged and they can't get in front, you know, Brian Leetch always used to say that, you know, the problem kind of remains that if an average player can neutralize a great player by holding and hooking and slowing them down, that's not good for the game. I want to see skill. I want to see Connor Bedard go down. I want to see a great save by, you know, Shesterkin, whoever. That's what fans are paying to see. And as soon as the game gets gummed up, or it gets, you know, the trap gets involved, it may be effective, or the lack of trapezoid means that the puck comes in, it comes right out. It's not good for the entertainment value of it. And, you know, I want that puck on, you know, Connor McDavid's stick. I want to see him flying around the ice. I want to see passes. And you go to an NHL game now, and some of the, you know, the decision making that they have is so quick. And so they have to have option 1, 2, and 3 because they get shut down so fast. Yeah, I think it's a great product right now from the goal on out. But any rule that they put in that kind of puts a premium on skill, in my eyes, is a good idea.
Okay, one last one for me. The Leafs called up Hildebeest.
Dennis Hildebeest.
He's 6'7", Ricky. If Glenn Healy climbed up on your shoulders, would you too be 6'7"?
No, but we'd be twice as smart still. Twice as cheap, I'll bet. It is amazing, but it does. You know, it's funny going back to those old goalies. You know, Glennie was smaller than me even, and you know, didn't have big equipment. But man, he could read a play, and he competed like none other. A really effective player. And I think that's one thing that never changes across the league. You have to have a real commitment to turning yourself inside out, to making a save, whether you're down and out. You saw maybe that great, cool kind of reverse scorpion, or whatever the hell they call it, with Mike Quick did the other day. You know, nobody teaches that. That's something you, like Dominic Hasek, all great players. You want to save the puck, and if you happen to be facing the wrong way because someone bumped into you or you made a save, you don't give up on it. And that sometimes is the difference between a win and a loss, or a Hall of Fame, or an average guy.
Feels climbed on your shoulders, you'd be 6'7" underground.
And pink, very pink.
Ricky, great stuff, man. Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate
it. Yeah, I can't wait to read your article, Kipper. This is great stuff. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Okay.
Great show.
Mike
thanks,
Richter.
Mike. Appreciate it.
Stanley Cup champion.
That was great. What a thoughtful guy. Do you know he got dark behind him over the course?
He's got to come out of his shell a little bit. I got to get him to talk more.
Very comfortable.
Haunted my dreams as a kid at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Absolutely stole it from Canada. He was unbelievable.
It was.
What year was that, 96?
Yeah, 96.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
There weren't many people.
His resume
he's the nicest
gross,
guy ever. The nicest guy ever. There weren't many people I cursed out more as a child than that man.
His save percentage was like 5 percentage points higher, 0.05, in the playoffs 76 game.
Wow. Once again, our thanks to Mike Richter. Hey, it keeps getting better here in the second hour. Just after the break, Craig Berube, former NHLer, and also a teammate of mine.
Really?
Once upon a time. Yeah, but Hershey.
Oh.
We're in Hershey together.
Oh, God. Good thing they didn't have cameras on those games.
Wow, did we have a tough lineup back then. Can't wait to get into it with Craig Berube after the break. All right. Don't go away. We're back after this.